Hello, I'm Keith Parent, and welcome to Focus Asia Pacific on PCJ Radio International. On the night of August 10th, 2017, India went into mourning. 30 patients lost their lives in 24 hours when the oxygen supplied at a hospital in Uttar Pradesh was suddenly cut. Images of the dead children and stories of parents trying to resurrect their loved ones became emblematic of corruption and mismanagement in the country's public healthcare system. BRD Hospital, where the tragedy took place, is no stranger to high rates of infant mortality. The hospital's catchment includes some of India's poorest and most medically vulnerable citizens. A primary center for treating encephalitis is common to see up to 400 children dying per month in the peak monsoon season. But the events of August 10th were different. With the state authorities now having made arrests and vowing to punish those responsible for the hospital's lethal dysfunction, Kupra Paddy tracks down those who witnessed the original tragedy to build an illuminating picture of what happened on that one infamous night.
This woman's clearly devastated. I'm just trying to establish what's happened. Encephalitis. The child's got encephalitis. We're in a region of India that's rife with encephalitis, an inflammation of the brain caused by infection, which is especially dangerous to young children. This is Uttar Pradesh in the north of the country, and we're outside a hospital that's become notorious for its high encephalitis death rate.
She's saying, my child, my baby child, my child.
What's her age?
18 months.
Her baby is only 18 months old.
We get patients from 130 kilometers radius, all of them coming to this place. We are overloaded.
As Dr. Rakesh Saxena explains, Baba Raghav Das, or BRD, Medical College in Gorakhpur, struggles to cope. This dilapidated public hospital is the only tertiary health facility in a region of over 60 million people.
We get a lot of encephalitis patients here. Premature, low birth weight, infected, traveling from miles. So they finally land here. And by the time they land here, they are really sick.
But it's hardly the most hygienic of hospitals here. Piles of rubbish on one side, rubble everywhere, men urinating. It's clearly also being used as a toilet.
You see, most of the patients are from the village. They're not educated people.
But now, BRD is suffering a whole new infamy. Hundreds of patients die at BRD every year. And then, last August, at the height of the encephalitis season, 30 lost their lives in just one especially chaotic night. The story goes that the hospital's oxygen supply had failed. I'm Krupa Bhatti, and for assignment this week, I'm in Gorakhpur to recount a tragedy that stunned the whole subcontinent and to try and find out what really happened on the night they say the oxygen ran out. Why does a hospital need so much oxygen?
Encephalitis patients, most of them patients, are either convulsing or they have pneumonitis, or they have got septicemia. So they all require oxygen.
And if they don't get this oxygen, what happens?
They will be hypoxic brain damage.
And they may die?
Yeah, definitely.
On the 1st of August, 2017, the hospital received a letter from its oxygen supplier that said, "We've been chasing payment for a long time now, but you failed to pay us. Therefore, we can't keep on supplying you with oxygen."
This is Manoj Singh, an activist and local journalist. He was at BRD on the night in question, the 10th to 11th of August, after receiving a tip-off from a source at the hospital. Manoj understands that the hospital's oxygen supplier, Pushpa Cells Private Limited, had been trying to contact them for several months.
They wrote about 23 letters to various officials. After August the 3rd, no further oxygen supply arrived at the hospital. And by the 10th of August, the supply the hospital already had was exhausted. Yet nobody had replied to the letters from Pushpa Sales. Nobody took action and nobody made a contingency plan.
In the days following August the 10th, Pushpa Sales allowed the Indian media to see its correspondence with BRD. The letters were widely published.
1st of August 2017. We have already brought to your attention that the company which supplies the gas to us has informed us about their own inability to supply us in future due to the current situation of no payment. 9th of August 2017. BRD Medical College in Gorakhpur has failed to make payments for the liquid oxygen. We are yet to receive a response.
Staff who operate the hospital's oxygen system had also written their own note on the morning of August the 10th and sent it to their bosses.
We have spoken to Pushpa Sales and they are refusing to provide us with any more liquid oxygen, citing failure to make previous payment. We believe that the lives of patients will be at risk if an immediate oxygen supply is not arranged.
Manoj, you were one of the first people on the scene on August the 11th. There's been immense confusion since. What do we know for certain as to what happened that night?
As far as I'm concerned, there's no confusion at all. The confusion has been manufactured. It was like a stampede in the hospital ward. Everyone bumping into each other, and there were so many journalists. Journalists from all the big cities were calling me, asking if it was true. They couldn't believe that a hospital had run out of oxygen.
According to the hospital, 30 children lost their lives on the 10th of August and at least 60 that week. The hospital insists it's not unusual for many patients to die during the encephalitis season. But the story quickly came to dominate Indian headlines and many people didn't doubt that something had gone terribly wrong. A dense and haunting fog blankets the village of Belwar, a few kilometres from Gorakhpur. This is home to a man called Shri Kishan, who lost his newborn son that night. The baby hadn't even been named.
There were rattling noises coming from the baby's chest. He was having problems breathing. The doctor said he needed a ventilator when one was available. So we pumped an AmbuBag ourselves for an hour. Later we asked for a ventilator again. They said there wasn't one available.
An AmbuBag is a manual oxygen pump intended for emergency use. As the hours passed, the baby's grandmother, Israuti Devi, also tried to help out.
I took off these bangles to pump the bag as the nurse said I had to. I said to her, I don't know how to use this. How can I pump oxygen into the child? She replied, if you don't pump, your child will die. We asked, how long can we go on like this, pumping constantly? She replied, 4 to 5 hours, 24 hours, 3 days, just keep pumping. Then I noticed there was blood coming from the baby's mouth. The nurse said it wasn't blood, it was just bodily waste.
So Shri Kishan and Israuti Devi carried on and on and on.
I pumped till 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and then the baby died.
They brought their baby's body home on their motorbike. There was no ambulance.
They're all the more devastated because it was a son that they lost, because they raised daughters leave the home, but having that son, he was going to look after them in old age, and they feel like they've lost a huge part of their lives, even more so because they lost a son.
That's This is the oxygen supply room.
Back at BRD, Dr. Saxena is explaining how the hospital's oxygen system works. He says it's fail-safe.
We have got one liquid oxygen storage plant from where the supply goes to the wards. Once the liquid oxygen pressure goes down, we switch over to the cylinders. So this is an emergency arrangement.
Let's go through that again. The easiest way to hold a large quantity of oxygen is in liquid form. So liquid oxygen is delivered by tanker and stored in a kind of giant thermos flask in the hospital grounds. Oxygen is drawn off as required, vaporised and piped to the wards. If there's any kind of failure in this central supply, the hospital turns to backup cylinders. They're a bit like giant butane canisters.
So you've got about 25 iron cylinders in this room.
Yeah. Because of this, the chances of no oxygen, chances are very little.
But Manoj Singh says he witnessed many of these canisters being delivered on the 10th of August, the night he says the oxygen died, in frantic fashion. He says it suggests they were struggling to provide an emergency supply.
I saw people offloading jumbo cylinders and a man who was on the phone continuously. He was a doctor. And that doctor's name was Kafil Khan. And it went viral on social media. This doctor, who stepped up where the government and hospital officials had failed to, and who arranged for the emergency oxygen cylinders and carried on looking after the patients. He was a hero. Then I went to the liquid oxygen plant and I saw the meter reading was zero.
Hi everyone. Today is 19 and...
Soon afterwards, the man who appeared to be a hero, Dr. Kafil Khan, posted a video of himself on social media. The video appears to confirm that he was desperately trying to procure emergency oxygen cylinders.
I brought 250 oxygen cylinders in 24 hours. 250! There was no one helping me. I was on my own till 6 p.m. that day. I was begging other hospitals for cylinders, like, give me 50 cylinders, children are dying. If I save 10 patients, I still don't know how many lived and died altogether. But I did my level best. The only thing that keeps me going is knowing that I saved some of those children. As for the rest, well, God is watching.
Well, we've come now to the main courthouse in Gorakhpur, and as you can hear, there's a real buzz about this place. Advocates are sat around wooden tables, chatting away as clerks are bashing out their briefs on typewriters. And I've come here to meet one of the key legal representatives in the Gorakhpur hospital case.
All those who died, died because of illness, because of encephalitis.
So just to reiterate, you are saying there was never a cut of oxygen supply that night. The oxygen supply did not stop?
No.
You might be surprised to learn that Krishnanand Tiwari is the lawyer for none other than Dr. Kafil Khan, the same man we just heard from. Despite his attempts to bring oxygen cylinders to BRD, he was subsequently arrested and remains in jail, awaiting trial on charges of attempting to commit culpable homicide, a criminal breach of trust by a public servant, and criminal conspiracy.
The oxygen supply was continuous. The liquid supply was present, and then there was oxygen from the cylinders. Not a single child died because of a lack of oxygen.
And you understand that that contradicts all the reports that we have been hearing from families. Why were the parents given those AMU bags to pump?
The pumps were used when at times the oxygen pressure was low. But there were no deaths because of this. Investigators have recorded statements from the families and they say the oxygen supply did not stop and they confirm that the children died because of illness.
So, the lawyer defending Dr. Khan, a man who's publicly spoken about an oxygen crisis at BRD Hospital, says the oxygen never actually ran out. And despite damning media coverage and harrowing accounts from parents in the days and weeks after August the 10th, many other people now seem to pour cold water on the idea of a crisis, or indeed don't want to speak about it at all.
I will not be the person which can share such a sensitive matter.
But you were a part of the committee that put together the report from the Indian Medical Association. And even in light of that, you don't have any further information?
We don't have any official version. It was an internal report. It was not to be shared in public.
That's Dr. K.P. Kushwaha, who even co-wrote a report on the child deaths. He insisted he would say nothing. Others are equally unforthcoming.
I can't say anything.
Okay.
I can't say a single word in respect to the merit or demerit of the case. So I can't say anything more.
That's the lawyer for another of the BRD doctors. Some of those refusing to comment cite sub judice, given that a number of trials are pending. But some think there might be other reasons for people to keep their heads down. This is Gorakhnath Temple in the heart of Gorakhpur. It's one of the most revered Hindu shrines in Uttar Pradesh. Now, this is a very significant temple in more ways than one. Not only is it a place of worship, a very popular temple here, it is also headed by the Chief Minister of Uttar Pradesh.
Bharat Mata Ki Jai Jawan.
Adored by his loyal followers, Yogi Adityanath, the saffron-robed head priest, has emerged as one to watch within India's ruling BJP party. Some even think he might, one day, succeed Narendra Modi as Prime Minister. But BRD Hospital has become something of an embarrassment to Yogi Adityanath. And now it's even an electoral liability. Manoj Singh believes the Chief Minister is profoundly unhappy about the hospital's recent notoriety.
Chief Minister isi shahar ke hain, Gorakhpur ke hain.
This is the Chief Minister's own backyard, Gorakhpur, and the state government's been defamed and criticised as a result of the BRD story, so they've cracked down. They've been upset at the media reporting, so people are afraid. And this fear has intensified and spread way beyond the hospital to the city. Doctors, officials, journalists and politicians, they don't want to say much because if they do speak, they risk making the government angry, especially the Chief Minister.
According to Manoj, then, people are frightened to talk. We try to get a response from Yogi Adityanath. After corresponding with his office on numerous occasions over several months, we ended up meeting his principal secretary, who said no interview request was ever received. He suggested we talk to the health secretary for an interview instead. But he also said no, insisting all questions must be given to the state government in advance. Right, I think we've got our answer then. It really seems as though when it comes to BRD Hospital, no government official is willing to put their neck on the line.
As far as my knowledge goes, there was no disruption of the oxygen supply on that day.
Certainly, the man who showed me around BRD earlier, Dr. Saxena, was adamant there's little to discuss about the 10th of August.
The oxygen pressure from the liquid oxygen cylinder was low, so it was switched over to emergency oxygen. And we got more cylinders and the supply was continuous.
But you're a doctor who's been at this hospital for a very long time. Was that a normal night at the hospital?
There was a lot of media, a lot of chaos. Things were going on here and there. I don't know what happened.
But as our interview continued, his restless body language suggested just how uneasy he is with the subject. Why weren't any post-mortems or autopsies carried out on the children?
Patient attendant has to give the consent. Without consent, you cannot do autopsy.
Were they asked?
As far as I know.
And since the events of that night, how has it impacted your hospital?
A bad reputation, which we are trying to make up.
Another day, another wild goose chase, this time to Lucknow, the state capital. Somewhere here is the family of the man who wrote those letters, warning BRD was in arrears to his company, Pushpa Sales. But mention oxygen and doors shut in your face.
Oxygen se related koi bhi part nahi.
Right, I think just using that word has scared them, to be honest with you. And they seem to be pushing us away.
It took a long time and a lot of searching. No one wanted to tell us where Pushpa Sales now has its office. But finally, a kind old security guard gave me some details. And so eventually, we came face to face with the father of Manish Bhandari, author of the letters to BRD. Following the outcry after August the 10th, Manish too has been arrested and remains in custody. The family have not been speaking to the media until now.
Very difficult for the family to see him in jail. He's missed our family very badly. He is in the custody of system 4.5 months.
As a father, it must be very hard for you.
Yeah, no doubt. We are doing business, never cheating in our family and not in our blood to cheat. We pray to God, please send him home as soon as possible.
The father was, no surprise, reluctant to say much else for fear of recriminations. But after talking to him and digging around, we stumbled across what could be a key piece of information. Despite writing the letters threatening to cut off BRD's oxygen, Pushpa Sales contends that in the end, it did no such thing. The threat was just that, a threat. So could BRD have suffered not a cut in the oxygen supply, but just a peak in demand at the height of the encephalitis season? One that left a dysfunctional hospital struggling to cope.
So you were part of a team who went to investigate the conditions of the hospital in the aftermath of what happened in August. What did you find?
Lots of things, you know, like, you know, one should have caps, masks and gowns.
Dr. Rashmi Kumar, a paediatrician based in Lucknow, was part of an investigatory team sent to BRD by the Uttar Pradesh state government. She speaks of a hospital with fundamental inadequacies. And she believes this, as much as any oxygen failure, could have contributed to the deaths of patients.
There was overcrowding. The distance between beds and cots was not enough. And there were more than one baby in a cot, in many of these cots. And the personnel, not all of them had shoe covers or those special slippers to go inside. That was, again, not ideal.
And what's the potential consequence of that?
You have more infection, you have, you know, septicemias, etc., developing. And babies, they die so easily if they are already compromised.
Crucially, says Dr. Kumar, the use of AmbuBag manual oxygen pumps to treat patients for long periods of time does not necessarily signal a lack of oxygen. It seems other resources might have been lacking.
Even the AmbuBags can be connected to oxygen. So it's nothing to do with oxygen. It's really the mechanical ventilator which is not there.
So there's not enough equipment?
Yeah, there could be too many patients due to which all the ventilators were occupied and, you know, some of the children were on AmbuBagging.
And in any case, she says, an encephalitis patient wouldn't always even need additional oxygen to stay alive.
In the earlier stages, when the child is stable, there's no real need of oxygen, unless there is a respiratory problem along with it.
And so, what do you believe happened that night?
Well, I think the oxygen did run out. But to attribute all the deaths to just the oxygen running out, is not the conclusion that a doctor would draw.
So we've just made our way through the back streets of Gorakhpur. It's a maze of narrow alleyways full of potholes, with goats grazing on piles of rubbish, kids playing on rooftops, and pools of stagnant water everywhere. And we're coming here to meet Mohammed Zahid. His daughter, Khushi, was one of the victims on the night of August the 10th.
Why did those poor children die here? I'll tell you why. As far as I'm concerned, it was because they didn't have oxygen. If my daughter had been given sufficient oxygen, she would have survived. She was alive until the morning, and then after 6:30, I saw her shake and crumble in front of my eyes.
Mohammed showed me Khushi's death certificate. Handwritten and unstamped, it looks no more significant than a corner shop receipt. The cause of death it gives is cardiorespiratory arrest. In other words, she simply stopped breathing. Were you ever offered any investigation into your child's death?
No,
he was just given the paperwork. He was never asked if they wanted a post-mortem or an autopsy. We're still far off a definitive answer to what happened at BRD Hospital last August. But many people remain convinced nothing less than a scandal took place there. And what is clear is that some key witnesses and the state government led by Yogi Adityanath find questions about the incident deeply uncomfortable. Perhaps BRD's only misdemeanour was to have been chronically oversubscribed. But the authorities' obfuscation merely stokes up suspicion of darker goings-on. For parents like Mohammed and his wife Rehana, it could be a very long wait for any answers.
She said
she feels incredibly lonely, that Khushi would never leave her side, Khushi would always follow her around everywhere. And now she just feels extremely lonely.
And that's all we have time for on this edition of Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International. If you wish to contact us to let us know what you think of the program, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is focus@pcjmedia.com. Once again, focus@pcjmedia.com. On behalf of the whole team, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well. Thanks so long. Take care. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.